their mind, a splendid sun of vision's rays, shaped substance by the glory of its thoughts, and moved amidst the grandeur of its dreams. Mind in this world is made of the rays of vision. That is, mind does not just think, but it also sees with the light of a sun, a splendid sun of vision's rays, a luminous sun of vision, sight. That is, it is a seeing mind, and by the glory of its thoughts, it shapes substance. The thoughts do not just go into the air, but in the very process of being thought, a substance is shaped, a material form is given, and it moves amidst the grandeur of its dreams. It does not move aimlessly. It does not produce barren products, but in the grandeur of its dreams, it conceives of so many things, and in that grandeur, it moves. If that is the nature of the mind, he describes what was imagination. Imagination's great ensorcelling rod summoned the unknown and gave to it a home. Now the ensorcelling rod, that is the staff which the magician wields, which brings out enchanting transformations, that is wielded by imagination. That means to say, wherever true imagination works, new realities take shape. And here it summons the unknown. The mental thought faculty deals with the known or prepares the known. But imagination is intended to actualize what is not yet actual. What is a potential, what is a possible, that is brought nearer to this field of experience by imagination. So imagination summoned the unknown and gave to it a home. What is unknown has no home. But here it is brought, given a form, outspread luxuriantly in golden air. The home, the form given to the unknown, is spread out luxuriantly in a leisurely way, in the golden air, gold to indicate truth, luminous truth, outspread luxuriantly in golden air, truth's iris-colored wings of fantasy. It gives a home to the unknown. It spreads out the rainbow-colored wings of fantasy of truth. Conceive truth as a bird, and its wings of fantasy are spread out luxuriantly in the golden air, thanks to the instrumentation of imagination. Awe sang to the intuitive heart of joy. Imagination sings to the heart of intuition, which is a joy. Wonders, dream notes that bring the real clues. That is, the dream notes played by imagination serve to bring the reality closer. Normally it is so far, but imagination, by its exercise of faculties of picturizing, fantasizing, it draws in what is unsubstantial into this field of concrete form and experience. Its power, the power of imagination, that makes the unknowable real, near and true, in the temple of the ideal, shrined the one. That is, that power installs the one reality in the temple of the ideal. That is, it erects ideals. Imagination erects ideals, and each ideal is a kind of a temple in which the one reality is installed as the deity. It peopled imagination, thought and mind and happy sense, filled with bright aspects of the might of God and living persons of the One Supreme. Not only the aspects of the might of God, but the many personalities of the One Supreme. It also fills with the speech that voices the ineffable. A thing is ineffable when it can't be described, when it can't be rendered in terms of speech. But this imagination is able to find a speech that articulates, that voices what is ineffable, the ray revealing unseen presences. The ray of light which brings to the view many presences which have been unseen so far. The virgin forms through which the formless shines. The original, pure forms through which the formless displays itself. The word that ushers divine experience, the common word of human speech, diminishes an experience, weakens an experience, but here, the word with a capital W, it is a mantric word which ushers divine experience. It enters, it brings into the field of experience a divine experience, and the ideas that crowd the infinite. Ideas, imagination clears the way for the gathering of ideas that people the infinite. And in this region, in this world, there was no gulf between the thought and fact. In our world, there can be a big gulf between what we think and what is a fact. But there is no gulf between thought and fact. Ever they replied like bird calling to bird. Thought and fact, thought and reality, they answered like bird to calling bird. The will obeyed the thought. The act, the will, that is the thought, issues the order and the will obeys. And what takes place, act obeys that will. And in this way, there was a harmony woven twixt soul and soul, between individual and individual. There was a growing harmony instead of conflict, instead of division. There was harmony woven, which was created, a marriage with eternity, divinized time. Till now, Ashwapati has been in the belt of time. But now, that time has united with eternity, with the timeless. So, time itself has become divinized. There, life pursued unwearied of her sport, life is playing a game. But it enjoys its game there. It is never tired of the game. Joy in her heart and laughter on her lips. The bright adventure of God's game of chance. Life is playing God's game, and it, for all appearances, it is a game of chance. In her ingenious ardor of caprice, her means life's, in her ingenious, original ardor of caprice, intensity of free will, in her transfiguring mirth, in her intoxicated joy, which changes forms, transfigures, in that mirth, she mapped on time. If time is the canvas, she draws figures, and those figures are a fascinating puzzle of events, lured at each turn by new vicissitudes. Events are puzzling because at every turn new conditions, new circumstances come into being, and they lure the events from their natural expected path to self-discovery that could never cease. And each event led to self-discovery, to discovery of one's own truth. And this game could never cease. It is a ceaseless game. Ever she framed caprice. The poet spoke of caprice. So now here he illustrates. Ever she framed stark bonds for the will to break. She herself builds or forms bonds, bondages, ropes, hard, naked bonds. Why? To give a challenge to the will, break them. Provide the thrill of adventure. For the will, she provides stark bonds to be broken, brought new creations for the thought's surprise. Thought always formulates like this: this is the conclusion, this is to be. But a thing which thought has not conceived of. So these are new creations suddenly thrown in to the bewilderment of thought and passionate ventures for the heart to dare. Passionate ventures are posed, exciting the heart. Do you dare go on that adventure? Where truth recurred with an unexpected face. Truth appears again and again, but with new faces everywhere. Or else, repeated old familiar joy. Truth repeats itself. In the earlier sentence, he says it repeats itself with unexpected face. But here, it repeated old familiar joy, like the return of a delightful rhyme. When it appears again, one is happy, because it brings to the memory an old rhyme which gave delight at one time. That is, whether it comes with an unexpected face or in the old familiar form, it gives joy. At hide and seek on a mother wisdom's breast. There is a mother wisdom, as we noted, supporting all that goes on. And on the breast of that mother wisdom, there is a game of hide and seek. An artist teeming with her world idea. Life is truly an artist because she has some idea, a gigantic idea, as great, as large as the world. She never could exhaust its numberless thoughts and vast adventure into thinking shapes, whatever the number of thinking shapes. Her vast adventure was never exhausted, and trial and lure of a new living dreams. New dreams come up and they attract, they give trial. Untired of sameness and untired of change, life is such a unique person that the sameness of its actions, the sameness of its results never tires her. Nor is she tired of change, constant change. Neither change nor sameness tire her. Endlessly she unrolled her moving act. A mystery drama of divine delight, a living poem of world ecstasy. This is characterization in different imageries of the working of life. First, it is a mystery drama of divine delight. Next, a living poem of world ecstasy. Not only the delight from the divine, but even at the world level, there is an ecstasy which pours itself into the form of a poem, a cosmic poem, a kekimono of significant forms. A kekimono is a Japanese painting which is hung from the wall. I think there you will see the peacock. Now that is a Japanese print. It is a print, not an original, hung from the wall with many colors, with many designs. And this world picture is compared to a kekimono of significant form. Each form is significant. Each line is significant. It is not just to fill up the canvas that the lines are drawn. a coiled perspective of developing scenes. Scenes, they are not final as they are. Each is leading to something other. And that is why there is a coiled perspective. One thing leading to another, one thing leading to something else. A brilliant chase of self-revealing shapes. The whole procession of life is a brilliant chase of new and newer shapes which reveal their own truth. An ardent hunt of soul looking for soul. A seeking and a finding as of gods. It is the gods who are playing. It is they play this game of seeking and finding. There, matter is the spirit's firm density. Here, matter is taken to be a denial of the spirit, a contradiction of the spirit, an alien to the spirit. But in that world, one feels that matter is the firm density of the spirit. Now, spirit as such has no density. Spirit is very subtle. It has no form. It is something like ether. But in the course of manifestation, the spirit becomes less and less subtle, more and more gross, till it concretizes itself as matter. So that is, spirit assumes a certain density, becomes dense, and that is what we call matter. There, matter is the spirit's firm density, an artistry of glad outwardness of self. Matter is seen as not foreign to the self, but as a glad outward shape of the self within. An artistry, a very ingeniously designed form of matter, a treasure house of lasting images. Matter is the home of lasting images. Any image created there remains stamped on matter for time, for all time. Not so in the world of mind, not so in the world of life. They pass. Here, it is a treasure house of lasting images, where sense can build a world of pure delight. Matter, the material world, is seen here. Material creation of matter itself is seen as a field where a world of pure delight can be erected by the senses. The home of a perpetual happiness. That world has an abiding, permanent happiness. It lodged the hours as in a pleasant inn. Hours means the moments of time. It gives a home to the passage of time as in a pleasant inn. Inn, it is not a house. Inn is a kind of a resting house where you rest for a while and then you proceed. So the imagery is, in a pleasant inn, the hours of time are lodged. Even the youngest child thought of the mind incarnated some touch of highest things. That is, the least thought, the tiniest thought of mind here incarnates, expresses, brings out some touch of highest significance. Their substance was a resonant harp of self. Substance was not something opposed or foreign to the self, but a kind of harp created by the self, resonant. That is, it was always answering to the promptings of the self. Substance is material substance, mental substance. Their substance was a resonant harp of self, a net for the constant lightnings of the spirit. Substance would catch the lightnings of the spirit in itself, a magnet power of love's intensity, whose yearning throb and adoration's cry. Substance gives a certain stability and a concreteness to the intensity of love, to the yearning of devotion, to the cry of adoration. They are not vague, coming from nowhere, but from a concrete thing as substance. And these, love's intensity, throb of yearning, cry of adoration, drew God's approaches, close, sweet, wonderful. The approach of God, each approach of God, which was attracted by this adoration's cry, is sweet, is wonderful, coming close. Its solidity, the substance, material substance, you can take it, matter you can take it, or substance. Here the sentence begins with substance, so let us take it as substance. Its solidity was a mass of heavenly make, not of earthly make. Its fixity and sweet permanence of charm made a bright pedestal for felicity. The solidity, the fixity, gave a certain permanence of charm, and altogether provided a bright pedestal for felicity to live. That is, substance becomes a standing ground for felicity. That experience of calm joy and happiness, its bodies woven by a divine sense, bodies from the substance, textured by a divine sense, prolonged the nearness of soul's clasp with soul. The purpose of this substance, the purpose of a form creation, is that love can grasp love. A soul can grasp another soul. Otherwise, all are always one. So there is a self-division into many, so that each can enjoy the others. The clasp of one holding the other prolonged the nearness of soul's clasp with soul. Its warm play of external sight and touch reflected the glow and thrill of the heart's joy. External sight and touch are not meaningful in themselves, but because they reflect something from inside, the glow and thrill of the heart's joy, mind's climbing brilliant thoughts, the spirit's bliss, all these are reflected in the warm play of sight and touch. Life's rapture kept forever its flame and cry. Life's rapture was never interrupted by death. It was always ascending in crescendos. That is why he says, life's rapture kept forever its flame and cry. All that now passes away, lived immortal there, in the proud beauty and fine harmony of matter, plastic to spiritual light. There matter is responding and plastic enough, supple enough, to take and reflect the light of the spirit. Its ordered hours proclaim the eternal law. Vision reposed on a safety of deathless forms. Forms are permanent. So each vision exposes eternal forms. Time was eternity's transparent robe. Time was there, but it was a transparent robe of eternity. Eternity weaves and puts on. Hewing out of self's living rock, phenomenon. Now phenomenon is the architect. Happenings, a process by which a thing which is not there comes to be. So phenomenon is imaged as the architect. Now what does it do? Hewing out of the living rock of the self. Everything is created not out of imagination, but out of the living, conscious rock of the self. That is, from the being of the self, the whole world is created. An architect hewing out self's living rock, phenomenon built reality's summer house. In the summer, reality needs a camp, and phenomenon builds it out of the living rock of the self on the beaches of the sea of infinity. Infinity is pictured as a sea, an ocean, and on the beaches, on the sands, banks of that waters of infinity, the summer house of reality is hewed out of self's living rock. That is, each phenomenon is a home for a purpose of the reality in manifestation. As long as the manifestation is there, as long as the summer is there, that house exists. And there we end the para. We could stop there.